This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Trevor Corson worked as the stern man on a lobster boat for 2 years, hauling and baiting traps off Little Cranberry Island in Maine. Now he's written an intimate portrait called The Secret Life of Lobsters. It's about the crustaceans themselves, and also about the men and women who've devoted their lives to fishing and to studying them, trying to learn where they live and predict the next catch. Lobsters, it turns out, are always reinventing themselves, constantly shedding their hard shells as they grow. They'll molt 25 times in their first 5 years of life alone. As Trevor Corson explains, molting is a pretty violent process for a lobster.
Every hard part of the lobster is part of the shell. Every appendage that's hard, every piece of the lobster that's hard is secreted as part of the shell. And that includes the lining of the throat and the stomach and even the anus. So it has to rip all this inside out as well when it sheds its shell. And then it's got to also diet away a lot of its meat before shedding so that it can pull its claws through the wrists of the shell on the way out. So it actually has to squeeze its flesh out through that tiny little opening when it's shedding, and some lobsters never make it.
Well, you hear descriptions like this, and it's just an amazing thing to think that lobsters as a species have survived at all.
It is. It is extraordinary, and the survival part is actually interesting because it turns out that the female lobsters can only mate when they've just shed their shell.
You describe a researcher at Woods Hole on Cape Cod named Yella Atama, who's been studying in a tank a dominant male lobster. He's been bullying a female, and then things start to change, and they get together. This is on page 60, and I wonder if you could read this section for us here.
Sure. The male now spent most of his time at home and neglected his bullying. Doting on the female, he stood on tiptoe, fanned his swimmerettes, and swayed from side to side. One morning, after the female had been living with the male for about a week, she appeared especially restless. Yella guessed that she might be ready to molt. What the female did next could be termed only one thing: knighting. The female stepped up to the male and laid her claws on his head. He stood still, poised on tiptoe, fanning his swimmerettes madly. She removed her claws and stepped back while he felt her with his antennae. She knighted him again several times. A few minutes later, she fell over on her side, unzipped the back of her shell, and began to wiggle.
And we can leave them there, but the remarkable thing about this, or one of the many remarkable things about this, is that fertilization, maybe you should just describe how it happens. It's an amazing thing that the female lobster is able to do here.
Right. For a long time, scientists were very perplexed over just how lobster mating occurred, and there was actually a debate about lobster sex all the way through the 19th century, which I was astonished to learn. But it turns out that she has this kind of fanny pack that she carries around as part of her shell, and that's where the male deposits his sperm. Then she can carry that sperm around with her for quite a while afterwards, and when she's finally ready to fertilize the eggs, she'll squirt them out onto her tail, where she sticks them with some glue and then carries them around for a while longer while they develop further. And in the course of squirting the eggs out, she opens that little fanny pack, unzips it, and the male sperm come out and fertilize the eggs as they're passed over. And the interesting thing is that lobsters invest a lot more in each one of their eggs. When that egg hatches, it turns into a little larvae called super lobster. And the super lobsters got their name because they run around on the bottom, and then they kind of clap their claws together outstretched in front of them and leap into the air like Superman and fly around with their claws outstretched. It's the only time in the lobster's life cycle where the animal is capable of proper swimming. And they'll swim great distances looking for just the right place to hide, and then they'll go down and hide on the bottom. And once they shed that last larval shell and become a lobster, they can never swim again. They're stuck on the bottom.
And they're called super lobsters, but they're actually tiny.
Yes. They're about the size of a kidney bean, a centimeter or two long.
The lobstermen up on Little Cranberry Island in Maine that you write about have come up with a system over the years to protect the species, in other words, not to over-harvest. And it has to do with making a little notch in the tail of some of the lobsters. Describe what they're culling out, what they're throwing back there.
Yeah, this is a very peculiar and interesting practice. It's called V-notching, and it's called that because when an egged female comes up, which is to say a female lobster who is carrying eggs on the bottom of her tail, the fisherman will cut a little tiny quarter-inch V-shaped notch in one of her tail flippers and throw her back. And that gives that lobster some protection. Basically, they're saying, okay, whichever female lobsters are carrying eggs when we catch them, we'll throw those back, and that way we'll be assured a certain percentage of egg-bearing lobsters that are going to be out there. Now, the jury is still out on whether more and more eggs being produced by these V-notched lobsters is actually helping the fishery. But the fact is, it does appear that the fishermen's effort to protect breeding lobsters has contributed to a lot more eggs being in the water than there might be otherwise.
You describe a scene, and it just has the ring of it can't possibly be true to it, of a way that they were able to track one particular V-notched lobster that someone pulled up and someone later found.
And she's become famous, this lobster, on the Maine coast. And it was actually began as a prank conducted by a childhood friend of mine who was one of my fellow stern men. And my friend decided he would dress up a V-notched female lobster in a Barbie doll outfit, complete with skirt, blouse, and high-heeled shoes. They hauled up one of their friend's traps and put it in there so he would find it. So when Barbie Lobster, as she's come to be known, was first found, it was a source of much amusement. But they decided that they would just throw her back into the water and see if she showed up anywhere else. And this began a saga over the next month of Barbie Lobster being repeatedly hauled up in different fishermen's traps over different distances. And it turned out she'd walked several miles in high heels in 1 week. She apparently was not, and she began losing, of course, bits of her clothing over time. So eventually she was restored to her original status.
And her dignity.
Yes, her dignity, indeed.
There's been a very active debate over the years, sometimes an angry debate, over whether lobsters are being overfished. What's your conclusion about that?
Well, my feeling is that lobstermen have done, certainly in Maine, they've pioneered a lot of conservation practices, and they really should be commended for that. Now, that said, what we've seen over the past 15 years is this tripling of the catch. Basically, that appears to be a good thing. It doesn't seem that the resource is being overtaxed as much as it is that the lobster population, for a number of environmental reasons, has actually expanded. So there actually have been more lobsters. The problem now is that everybody's expectations are much higher. So now, even if the catch falls down to the level that was sustainably harvested for 40 years before this recent boom, biologically speaking, the lobster resource will be fine for the time being. The problem is going to be an economic and social problem, as all these fishermen are now competing for a much smaller piece of the pie.
Trevor Corson, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Trevor Corson's book is titled The Secret Life of Lobsters.